want to say thank you to everyone and welcome everyone this evening. This is February. It is April the 15th, 2013. April 15th. And you have joined us this evening on We Cannot Be Silent, the program that is called We Cannot Be Silent with Phil Restino and Larry Pinkney. Phil will be joining us this evening in our second hour. And we want to thank Wolf Spirit Radio for making this program possible. And all the good folks who do a lot of hard work in making this happen. Again, you are listening to We Cannot Be Silent. We have a very, very special guest this evening, and I'm sure that you will enjoy and really everything that this person has to say as much as I certainly do. His name is Ralph Poynter. That's P-O-Y-N, as in Nancy, T-E-R, Ralph Poynter. Ralph is the comrade, if you will, the partner of political prisoner, U.S. political prisoner, Len Stewart. Many of you may have already heard about Sister Len Stewart. Len has been what I refer to and many, many others refer to as the people's lawyer. She, just let me give a little bit of background, she for over 40 years has been waging a struggle in this country on as an attorney, a serious attorney, folks, not just a mouthpiece, but a serious lawyer who's been a thorn in the side of the U.S. government and the very, very unjust judicial system that we endure. And she is, in fact, in prison. She is fighting for her very life today. And Ralph will be telling us more details about that, but I would like for our audience, and I want to thank the audience, I always want to thank the audience for listening to We Cannot Be Silent. Thank you for being with us once again. We have, as I said, Ralph Poynter. Ralph, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, Ralph?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, we've just done an introduction, a little bit, relating to you, and what I'm going to do is I want to be very, very laid back, just as you and I talk when we talk on the phone, just between you and I. I want to do the same thing, if it's okay with you. If you would start...
Fine with me.
Okay. Well, brother, if you will start wherever you'd like to start, frankly.
Okay. And I will start right where I am now.
Okay.
I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, and you hear that beeping in the background. That is Len Stewart trying to call me from the prison. I just left the prison a half hour ago on my way back to the motel, and Len had a spirited discussion about what are the possibilities of her getting out and what would she do if she did get out, whether she would go back to try cases, etc., what would be her role, because as Len always says, the struggle continues. The only question is what role you're going to play in the struggle. And when we say the struggle, what we're talking about is the fight for justice for all people in America. Mm-hmm. That is making America be what it says it is. And I'm going to go back to using a lot of words that Len uses. First of all, Len says all of the questions that come up in America about justice are not about the people who you would think the questions are about. For example, the race question. You would think the question is about people of color. And Len says, no, It is not about people of color. And they talk about the so-called immigration question, and then says, no, it is not about immigration. When you talk about the question of poverty, she says, no, it's not about poverty. And if you say, what is it about? And she says, it is about who we as Americans are and who do we want to be. And the words that they printed on that fine piece of paper in that slaveocracy when they had slaves and rules and laws against people who were poor, it is not about that at all. It's about whether we're going to be the people we say we are. It's about, as he says, us white so-called Americans. And this is her approach to every question. Are we going to be that? Are we going to be what we say we are? Are we going to keep the nation unjust? Are we going to take advantage of slavery? Are we going to take advantage of imperialism? Are we going to take advantage of the uneducated? Are we going to miseducate those who want to be educated? And the answer always is no. We're going to be, and she is going to be what she says she is, an honest, just person. And she says, and they talk about leveling the playing field. She says, how can you talk about leveling the playing field when some people have never been able to get to the starting line because of race, poverty, ignorance, etc.? So this is who we're talking about when we talk about Lynn Stewart. And she started out as a teacher. And when she got to Harlem, she grew up not 5 miles from Harlem and didn't know Harlem existed. And so the question is, how did she miss it? She was a valedictorian of every class she was ever in. Her mother was an English teacher and insisted that she was the smartest in the class. How did she miss it? She missed it because they did not teach it. And she had to learn the racism that America, the racist place that America was, in real time, in a real place, in a home, seeing the way things went. And when she asked people about it, she didn't like the answer she got, and she proceeded to join in the movements and the struggles that took place to make it an even playing field, to get people to the starting line, to force a corrupt government to do the right thing. And she didn't stop there. When she, on the question of women's rights, she fought for women's rights. On the question of welfare rights, she fought for welfare rights. On the question of same-gender lovers, she fought for these issues. And she's still fighting. And she says she's not talking about utopia. She's talking about what people who say something can do about making it real. So she said, and her other thing is, if you don't say it, if you don't mean it, don't say it. Because if you say it, she's going to believe it and try to enforce it. And she tried, and after being involved in all of these struggles, and one day she said to me in 1970, we have fought these struggles and we have lost everyone. We have made small inroads, but we lose. We won some battles, and we lost the war. And she says, I can't keep losing. And I asked her, what do you want to do? And she says, I think I'd like to be a lawyer. And it only took me a minute to say, well, you're very bright, you're very courageous, and you got the tenacity of a pit bull. So I guess you better be a lawyer. And the rest is history. She went to law school, did very well, and then proceeded to fight one-on-one to the government, giving just representation to those according to their ability to pay. And she was able to do that because she was such a good lawyer, those who had money wanted her. And she charged them according to their ability to pay. And when they complained, her answer was, well, if you don't think I serve you properly, best you get another lawyer. Because she would charge one person $30,000 one day, and the next 2 years do free cases for people who needed it, people who could not afford a lawyer. And her story, and I try to repeat what Lynn says and what she does, and her story exemplifies what she did, was when she would say, grandmother from Brooklyn, or from Harlem would come, and who was the grandmother of a black child, obviously from Harlem, and they would say, Miss Stewart, I don't know if my grandson is guilty or not, but I know he needs a good lawyer. And Lynn would say, when they pulled out that old, battered, little leather handbag, whatever was in that handbag was what the charge was going to be. Well, you can't operate a law business like that because some cases take a lot of time. They require a lot of money. Lynn never let anybody die. And it got to be to such an extent that when her son became a lawyer, her son and her secretary would try to protect her from people who came in with heavy-duty cases. Lynn took the cases, and she won an awful lot of them. And this angered the government. And she didn't stop there. And when this Islamophobia came, and we had these false terrorist cases, as they set up Americans to steal their jobs, their homes, their education, their social security, they had to have a boogeyman. And so they made the new boogeyman, the Muslims, the so-called terrorists. And it is so tragic that I doubt any case that the American government brings, because each case you see, it goes back to the American government doing it themselves, paying some informant to set poor guys up to make statements, get people involved, a provocateur. All of these, and I wouldn't doubt, and I go out in the line and say this, what happened in Boston I heard today, there was a bombing. I heard somebody say terrorism, and I say, I don't believe it. It's the American government doing it again. And as time goes by, as you look, and these things become exposed, a little at a time, you find out that it's the American government doing this, trying to keep people from examining what is real in their lives. And so here I am sitting outside of the federal prison in Fort Worth, Texas, Carswell Federal Medical Center, after having visited Lynn Stewart for the last time on a day that's not Saturday or Sunday. They're cutting back on visits because of what? Austerity. So I fly from New York, and people from all around come to visit their relatives and family, and now, instead of getting 4 days on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, they can only visit Saturday and Sunday. Austerity. The food in the prison, which is never good, is being cut back. Austerity. The medical help that was never good in prison is being cut back. Austerity. This is what America is. Lynn is in that situation, and we are asking everyone, within voice, if you can hear it, if you can go to a computer, sign on, get notables. We have just received a signature of Bishop Tootle, who has signed on. Many names, and if I were to start naming, I think we're over 11,000 now, many notables are signing on to support Lynn Stewart because it's been a miscarriage of justice. Because she defended the blind sheikh. And I tell you, an innocent man and an Egyptian government operative who was hired by the Egyptian equivalent of the CIA, the Egyptian Secret Service, under Hosni Mubarak, the dictator who has just been overthrown, who was overthrown a year or so ago by Arab Spring, by the people of Egypt. The American government was trying to protect him, and the blind sheikh was standing and speaking out against Hosni Mubarak, and they got him out of the way with this operative, with this false flag operation. And I would ask everybody, yes, it will all come to the light in years to come, but right now we have to work to get Lynn Stewart, an attorney, out of jail. And I would like to make one more comment, and I know I'm stealing thunder from very great spokespeople like Larry Pinkney, who can tell us the story and can do an interview, but I'm running on trying to say everything in as little time as I can. when Lynn Stewart defended Sammy the Bull Gravano, that is the mafioso who admitted to killing 19 people, nobody called her a mafioso. She defends the blind sheikh who's accused of terrorism, and everybody calls her a terrorist. Not everybody, those who don't know. So what is the difference in the job that Lynn did between defending Sammy the Bull Gravano and the blind sheikh, who never killed anybody, who was never accused of killing anybody? Color, race is the difference. Mm-hmm. And because Lynn has defended people, difficult cases, all of her career, they went after her. And as many lawyers say, Lynn, she keeps poking her finger in the eye of the government. And I always say, if the government needs somebody poking their finger in their eye, and we know this American government needs somebody poking their finger in its eye, then why not? And the answer is because it's very dangerous. And Lynn, and I say, who fought the struggle of the 60s would say, nobody should have poked their eye in the finger of the government. Those who fought for the right to vote would say, she's perfectly correct sticking her finger in the eye of the government. Those who fought unemployment, racism, she should have stuck her finger in the eye of the government. Those who fought the poverty issues, she still should have stuck her finger in the eye of the government. Now, suddenly, she shouldn't stick her finger in the eye of the government because America has made a boogeyman of terrorism. And like all of these boogeymen that the country creates, in years to come, they will say, oh, I'm sorry. Like the communist scare, they destroyed people's lives. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, the United States is trading, and we are all buying from the largest communist economy in the world. It's okay. And they says, oh, I'm sorry. So, it goes through this. Slavery. Oh, I'm sorry. Now we go through this period, and they will one day say, oh, I'm sorry. But today we're reminded of the lives that they destroy before they say, oh, I'm sorry. So Lynn Stewart is in that situation. Her case, we hope it'll go before the Supreme Court. It has been filed, and we don't know if the Supreme Court is going to hear the case. But we're hoping that the Supreme Court hears the case, and the case will be reviewed in a society that has begun to gain its sanity. And nothing makes people learn more than the results of their insanity. And one of the results of the insanity of the American people is they've lost their homes. Foreclosures of homes to the banks. Another is they've lost their jobs. Another is they're losing the education battle. Those who do manage to get to school are in debt for the next 10 or 15 years to the government and to the banks. This should make people say, hey, what's going on? While we're looking at fake terrorism, they're taking everything that our parents and our grandparents gained. When the unions fought to have an 8-hour work day, to have child labor laws, etc., it was a fight and the government opposed it. And if Lynn had been adult at those times, she would have been on that side, you know, the side of the people. So our sister Lynn Stewart.
That sums it up. I mean, you just said it, and you sum up, Lynn. Not that I mean this is at an end. No, we've got a good ways to go. But you summed it up just now when you said that Lynn would have been and always has been on the side of the people. That's everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. Ordinary, everyday people. Not the bloodsuckers, not the corporations, not Goldman Sachs, not the military war machine, not the propaganda, what I call corporate stream media, the corporate stream media being acting as the propaganda arm, of course, for the United States, which this the government, the U.S. government, that is, not the U.S. people. But Lynn would have been and has continued to be on the side of the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And that, and folks in the audience, I want to ask you all, Google her name. If you're not familiar with this 73-year-old freedom fighter, that's right, Lynn is 73 years old. Google her name, L-Y-N-N-E, Lynn Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, Lynn Stewart. Check it out for yourself, or for yourselves. This is imperative that we understand that what is being done to her is actually being done to all of us. That in fact, this government, currently under the Obama regime, is trying to make a lesson of Lynn. In other words, the lesson that they're trying to make is, you see what we're going to do to her, you see what we're doing to her, this is what we will do to you if you dare stand up. Our reply has got to be different. Our reply has got to be, no. We are going to systemically change this. We are going to rally around our sisters and brothers, black, white, brown, red, yellow, ordinary people. We are going to rally around them and support them, because in so doing, we are rallying around and supporting ourselves. Ralph, let me ask you, and I'm sure you're asked this many, many times on many programs that you've been on, but on this program, would you please tell folks about our sister Lynn's medical condition and what is happening? Where does she stand? Remember, many people who are listening to this program may not be familiar with Sister Lynn.
Yes, well, I'd like to say two things. First off, as you invited people to go to the website, lynnstewart.org, if they do, they will be entertained and educated. She writes well, and she says it very well. And so Lynn Stewart's medical condition is just this. After she was tried and convicted for terrorism, and it was such a state Islamophobia, the jury found her guilty, and I want everybody to listen to this. Listen carefully. They found her guilty of a conspiracy to murder American citizens overseas. Now, the government, when asked, well, where and who and when were these murders to take place, nobody knows. So you can imagine being convicted of conspiracy to murder someone when you're asked, well, who, and they say, well, we don't know, it's someone. This is how ridiculous it was. And in this same trial, the judge had to say 700 times, oh, this has nothing to do with Lynn Stewart. It has nothing to do with the truth of the issue of the matter. These facts are being stated only for the state of mind of a third defendant. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. You're on trial, and they're going to spend time talking about somebody else, not to the truth of it, not to the reality of it, but just to find the state of mind of a third defendant, which is, you know, what can you say about that? And when Lynn, well, I've digressed here, because I get into the injustices all around, I'm going to go back to her health. So when Lynn was found guilty of these, under Islam, and when the nation was flying in Islamophobia, and it is lessened a little bit now, but it's still like saying when the nation was in the throes of racism, that was lynching. Now we have a little less lynching, and we have lynching in a different level, because understand Lynn is being lynched. When she was found guilty of these so-called terrorist crimes, she was sentenced to 28 months in jail. And the Second Circuit said that wasn't enough time, because even though she was found guilty and sentenced to 28 months in jail, she continues to travel around the country to law schools and universities, corrupting our youth. And as I said to Lynn, well, you've gotten into the status of Socrates and Jesus Christ, but it didn't do either of them any good. and we laugh about it, that they are trying to kill her. How do I know that? How would I say something like that? Well, when the Second Circuit insisted that she get an extended sentence, and they did extend the sentence from 28 months to 10 years, she was scheduled to go to the hospital the week that they said she had to go to jail immediately, and it took her 18 months to get the surgery that she was scheduled for before she went in, and they wouldn't give her time to have her surgery. Scheduled for the week, they said she had to go to jail. 18 months before she got the surgery that was necessary, and the doctor who did the surgery said it was the worst case he had ever seen because of the delay of 18 months. And now
and
she's
this
in
is
jail.
Cancer.
Pardon?
Well,
this is Texas.
This,
what?
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying the medical condition, she's actually fighting cancer. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, and she had beaten cancer before she went to jail. And now the cancer that was in remission is active. And when she was had a normal examination, they discovered a spot on her lung. Did they go after it instantly? No. Before she got back to the hospital to examine the spot on her left lung, there was a spot on her right lung. And then they wanted to see, well, what was that about? It was another month before she got back to the hospital, and they discovered a spot on her lungs and in her bones and in her back. The cancer is metastasized. It is killing her. It is growing fast. So between the time they see a spot on her lung, it's 4 months later before she gets treatment. The treatment is chemotherapy. Do they analyze the chemotherapy? What's it doing to the body? No, because the person doesn't have set up for that. You get in line when your turn comes. You go to the local hospital in Fort Worth, Texas. And under these circumstances, no one can cure cancer. But she would have an opportunity in a very serious situation if she were in New York City. Under compassionate release, where she could get the best hospital care, and I like the way Lynn says it, a white, privileged American has access to the best medical care in the world. You better be white and privileged and an American to get it. And she has the support of her family, her children, myself. We will do anything to make that care accessible to her. And then she would have a chance to live. And when a letter was written to the warden asking for compassionate release, the warden's answer was, we expect Lynn to have 2 to 3 years to live. And when we get down to 1 year, then we will begin examining whether she should have compassionate release. Otherwise, they're going to wait till she gets down to till they feel she's going to die, then discuss it, and then maybe decide whether they're going to let her out. That amounts to a death sentence. Lynn Stewart has been sentenced to death for a crime that did not exist. See, and they say that she passed messages, secret messages, to the Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman's organization in Egypt. Lynn made a public press release through Reuters, and unless Reuters is a secret organization, then the government made a mistake. No, they didn't make a mistake. They tried to paraphrase her message of the Sheikh, and it was a political message about a ceasefire that his organization had gotten into it, that he was withdrawing his support from. That is the secret message that was sent. And the government said, oh, somebody might have gotten killed. Well, the message was safer than you driving your car down the highway because nobody got killed due to the message Lynn sent. And they keep saying she sent secret messages, and they were listening to every word that passed between her and the Sheikh. And if there was something that was ominous about it, you would have heard about it. There was nothing. It was merely a message of the Sheikh to his followers that he did not support the ceasefire that his organization had offered against Hosni Mubarak. Well, while this is all going on, the people of Egypt overthrew that dictator, Hosni Mubarak, and nobody said, gee, Lynn was right. Let her out of jail.
Right.
Lynn is still in jail, and they're still looking to kill her. And it is a tragedy that American people sit around and they don't see that they're losing a lawyer. And as my oldest daughter, who's a lawyer, said, it's not Lynn who's going to lose anything. It's all the people that she would defend, have defended, would inspire lawyers to defend. These are the people that are going to lose everything because she is 73 years old. And the government, and as you had mentioned, the government and Justice Department of Barack Obama is still sitting on top of this case. And he said he wasn't going to look back at what had happened before. You know, and Bush, who had led the country to war, you know, on lies, and Blair, who had run the country of the premier of Britain, led the country to war on a lie. Lynn never got anybody killed, never stole a penny, but Obama said he couldn't look back. But he could look back to get those who exposed the killing.
And well, you know, your point is very, very, very well taken and very well made, Ralph. The fact of the matter is that, you know, many, you mentioned earlier that there are a number of well-known people, including people like Bishop Desmond Tutu, Pete Seeger, Cindy Sheehan, Cynthia McKinney, Ed Asner, et cetera, who are calling for the compassionate release of our sister Lynn Stewart, the people's lawyer. And I think it's important to add here that, and I want to reiterate this, that this is not only about Lynn. It's about the fact of what Lynn and who Lynn represents. She represents us. She has always defended the downtrodden. She has always defended the unpopular, unpopular in quotation marks, unpopular as it relates to this hypocritical government. I refer to this, as you know, Ralph, I refer to this as the bastion of hypocrisy, not the bastion of democracy. But she has always been there for everyday, ordinary, common folk. And it is time for us to understand that we must support Lynn. Because in so doing, not only are we, in essence, showing our appreciation for a incredible people's lawyer, a warrior for the people, but we're also saying that we understand that we ourselves are in serious jeopardy because what they do to Lynn, and they, you're correct, obviously, they are trying to murder her. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And this is, of course, what they do to, or attempt to do to, political prisoners throughout the United States. Of course, this country is said not to have political prisoners, and we know, in fact, that the United States has thousands and thousands of political prisoners.
Well, as Lynn states it best, she says, what the government is trying to do is to narrow the playing field as to where a lawyer can operate. If the government wants you punished, whether you're guilty or not, if you're doing something that the government doesn't like, then they want lawyers to understand if they try to operate in a just manner, giving their full energy and attention and respect to the law to a client that the government doesn't like, then the government will punish you, as they are Lynn Stewart. And I think it's important for people to remember the history of America, because in the beginning, the Americans government was nothing but trading companies. And when this slaveocracy was going, and they had indentured white slaves from Europe and black slaves from Africa, the government was trading companies. And now we've come full circle, and the government becomes corporations. What did the corporations gain by having Lynn Stewart in jail? Well, they had owned the company, the country of Egypt. It was within their sphere, their political and military sphere. And Lynn Stewart was a part of the movement to get rid of a dictator who had the heel of the boot of oppression on their neck, and they threw it off. And that hurt the corporations who were making a lot of money in Egypt. Just like when the people of China threw off the five European nations that were sucking the wealth out of their country. The world is changing, just as Venezuela has thrown those corporations out of the country and said, instead of us owning 15% and you owning 85%, you're going to own 49% and we're going to own 51% for the benefit of the people, or we're going to throw you out altogether, which all of the companies took that ratio, because it is a more than decent ratio for the companies that have taken the wealth out of the country that should go for the people of the country. And so this is the fight that we were involved in. The fight for people to have the resources, their own resources, and it goes right back to Americans ourselves, those who call ourselves Americans. We must have respect for our education. We must have respect for our medical rights. And we're losing them every day. We're losing Social Security by the government, which is the corporations who are making money. We're losing education, public education that has worked, public education that has not worked is going by the board. We're going to get privatization that does not work. We're losing that which we once had. We're losing the dream of that which we want. And Lynn Stewart represents that dream of that which we want and the struggle to get it. And they are looking to crush us. Remember, trading companies, government, corporations, government, they're the same people. And they have the same end, taking from us and making more for themselves. Wealth beyond measure. Wealth never dreamt of. And poverty never dreamt of. More people in prison in America than they had slaves. Can you imagine that? This is the situation that we are in. And this is what the struggle that Lynn Stewart represents. So we must continue our struggle to help those who help us. And this is the most important thing, that people who help us must be helped. We must support them. And so is the work that has to be done. And the people who miss that, and people who don't honor that call, are people who work against themselves. 1 minute, please. 1 minute. Hello.
All right.
This is the struggle that we are in. And this is a struggle that we must win for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, more can be said?
Well, I want to give some information that I think that, in addition to what you're saying, Ralph, absolutely, the reality today in the year 2013 is one where our backs have been literally not just pushed up against the wall, but they're literally trying to push us in the wall. Okay, when I say us, I'm talking about everyday ordinary people and of all colors and both genders. And Lynn Stewart, our sister Lynn, represents exactly what they, the corporate government, corporate controlled government, is attempting to do to the people of this nation as well as the rest of the world, as well as Mother Earth in its entirety or in her entirety. And we, the people, have to be the ones to say no more. Democrats, Republicans, whatever they call themselves, I call them Republicrats, because they all from the same trough, you know, but no matter, we have to say no more, not just say it, but we need to actualize it and understand, as Lynn has shown us, that the best way to deal with our economic, social, and political initiation, oppression, if you will, is to stand tall and unite collectively, whatever differences we may have. And folks, we're going to have differences. We're humans. We're not robots. But as Brother Malcolm X said, we settle our differences in the closet, and we come out as a united front. And that's another reason that the government despises Lynn Stewart, because Lynn practiced that. She knew and knows how to bring people together through her for realness. Lynn is so much more than a mere lawyer. And I don't mean any disrespect by saying that, but she was so much more, she is so much more than that. She is a uniter of people, okay? And if a person is oppressed and being exploited and kicked in the teeth, as it were, no matter what their color or gender, Lynn was there to defend them vigorously, you know? And this is another reason that Lynn is really hated and despised by the corporate-owned U.S. government, which, by the way, folks, includes Drone Man Barack Obama. Oh, yes, Drone Man. These are the same people who have the unmitigated audacity to talk about terrorism when they are the ones who are the terrorists. They are the ones who are sending...
Go ahead, brother. One of the interesting things that came up when people talk about targeted killings of American citizens overseas. Well, that is almost laughable when Bush talked about that, and Obama takes it on steroids as the question of targeted killings of American citizens overseas. And I say, well, first, let's look at targeted killings of American citizens here in America. And let's start with Lynn Stewart. Let's continue with all political prisoners that are denied access to health, that are dying in prison. Let's talk about all people in prison, people of color, poor people, white people, who are targeted for killing by Americans. Targeted people who are tortured. And it's a big case that people understand in Chicago. Years, they finally found a man guilty of torturing in Chicago. Well, carry that times 50. That is 50 states in America. The same torture goes on, went on, and unless we change it, will continue. Has anyone forgotten about Angola? Has anyone forgotten about Attica? Has anyone forgotten about any of the prison, you know, situations in America? Targeted killings of American citizens in America. And when we deal with that, then I'm going to start being concerned about targeting killings of Americans or anybody overseas. Wars that are
Point made.
And so,
I said, excellent, excellent point. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
And so here we are. You know, we always have our eye off the ball. I was just, here I am in New York. I live in New York. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas right now. And in New York, we're in the middle of a struggle of the pass card system. And Lynn said to me, Ralph, be careful when you say a word like that, because there are so many people who don't know what you're referring to when you say the pass card system. Well, the pass card system was a system that the apartheid government of South Africa used to control the black majority population. You had to have a card, an ID card, everywhere you went. It was a pass card system. IBM was a part of supplying the mechanics, the materials necessary to make this pass card system work. And there were people in the United States, people of goodwill, that were blowing up IBM installations to stop them from sending materials that would help support pass card terrorism, slavery of people in the apartheid South African government. And we must remember that in the liberation struggle for South Africa, there was the evil axis that fought against it. And that evil axis comprised of the United States, Israel, and South Africa. And the rest of the world opposed the apartheid system. But this evil axis of evil people continued it. And today, in New York City, we have apartheid again. There is a system of you must have an ID card when you walk the streets of New York. And a policeman asked me recently about ID, and I said, I don't carry ID. So he says, what about your driver's license? And my answer was, ask me when I'm driving a car. I'm walking. And when anybody says that that is a racist policy, we have a Republican mayor who says it is not a racist policy. It improves things. He must not know history. And he is paid. He owns the black politicians and preachers of New York. And they say, well, it helps. It's not racism. And I'm saying, how could it not be racism when you don't have it in the white communities? Only the black communities. And we have people who accept that. They vote Democratic and they accept that. They go along with their preachers and they accept that. And what has happened to the minds of people who can accept that? It's not racist. We just use it in the black community. Give me a break. This is where we're losing the rights that we had. And we're doing nothing about it. Now, I would say a first step in terms of fighting this is to free Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners, because Lynn Stewart, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and other people of courage are leading the struggle to support people. And I say, all people leading the struggle to support all people's rights, as stated by Lynn is a big defender of the Bill of Rights. And I'll go further. When they were, and one of the things they say, that they increased Lynn's sentence from 28 months to 120 months, is because on the witness stand, she was asked, would you do it again? And she says, I would like to think I would do it again. She said it on public radio stations. I would like to think I would do it again. And what could she do again? Defend the Bill of Rights, which was the basis of people accepting a national government. Yes, defend the Bill of Rights, and they will no longer exist until you, the people, we the people, began defending the Bill of Rights, not with our mouths, but with our acts. And it's easy enough to act, to sign on to that petition, to go to our friends. And if we can't go to our friends, our organizations, our preachers, our politicians, and force them all to sign on to that compassionate release for Lynn Stewart, then we deserve to lose a little freedom and economic opportunity that is slipping out of our fingers slowly every day.
Slowly and steadily. Slowly and steadily.
You notice the media does not talk about foreclosures. Well, foreclosures are continuing at the speed that they always were. And now we find out that the companies, the corporations, the banks that lied to get the corporations have been fined by the government. And they have to pay the people who lost their homes. How much do they have to pay? You lose your home, you may get $1,000. You may get $900. What kind of punishment is that to the banks? Zero or none? What type of punishment or retribution is that for people who illegally lost their homes with robo-signings? And they know about it. What did they do? They did nothing. They supported the corporations. And those of us who claim to be Christians, Jews, Muslims, whatever religion we follow, if that religion doesn't tell you to support your brothers and sisters, it tells you nothing. And yet, we have a society that supports no one. People are going under the bus. And the masses keep on going. And in the words of Lynn Stewart, there's an awful lot of money in this country. And until a lot more people begin to lose it, nothing will be done. And we cannot wait for that. We cannot wait till it comes home to us. We must act when we see it happening to others if we believe in anything at all. I know we don't believe in government in America because it has never been extended to the masses. And I begin with people of color, immigrants, those other people. This is the dream we are trying to get to. It has never reached that. And then I wonder, what is the point of religion? And somebody said to me, well, it would be a lot worse if it weren't for religion. I don't buy it. Maybe religion is a part of our problem. Maybe religion doesn't teach us to reach deep enough into ourselves to see who and what we are, because we all are what we do. So I ask people, what are you going to do? Everybody who can hear my voice, what are you going to do?
That's right.
Nice program.
That's right.
I listened to it, but what am I going to do? And then, what did you do, as my father would say. We must at least be able to raise our pencil, must be able to turn on that computer, must be able to hit the button that signs on, must be able to add our name to any list of people doing justice. And that was always the end of Lynn Stewart's summation when she would go to a jury. Do justice. Some did, and many did not. And one of the things she would say, and she lived every case, she didn't want to wake up in the middle of the night screaming about what she may have done, what she could have done. Well, I'm not going to wake up in the middle of the night wondering about what I may have done, what I could have done. I'm going to do it every day, and I hope that people will join me doing it. I don't care how tired you are. We are all tired. I don't care how down you are. We are all down. But we must all ignore our problems and step up and fight the problem that we all have together. And that's the problem of corrupt government.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to, well, you said two things, Ralph, that I want to comment on. One, with respect to the corrupt government. I mean, you know, the Italian former dictator of Italy, Mussolini, gave the definition of fascism, and of course he should have known, since after all he was a fascist dictator, as being the combination of what he called corporatism and the state. In other words, and that's what we have today in the United States. We have a combination of massive corporatism, that is to say the corporate elite, who run the banks, who run these multinationals. This elite, and of course, with that corporatism, they have taken over or combined, if you will, the political state. Thus, we have what I term as a 21st century fascism, fascism.
At risk of being repetitive, I must again say that remember where America came from. In the slaveocracy that we had, when they had slaves from Africa, indentured slaves from Europe, the government was the trading companies. They picked the leaders, they changed them when they wanted to suit their own purposes. And we must look today and say, who picks the leaders and who changes them when they want to? It's the corporations, because I forget how many billions it takes to run for president. And the person who pays calls the tune. I think everybody remembers that statement. He or she who pays the piper calls the tune. And we've allowed those who pay the piper to call our judicial tune. Look at the combination of the Supreme Court. We've allowed them to pick all of our so-called leaders, who the moment they become our leaders, they turn on us. And I ask people to sign a code of conduct for themselves, and that is to refuse to support any preacher, politician, political organization, union, any association that says A and does B. Every person, every group, every institution must do what they say they're going to do, or we will not serve. Now, I know this program is called I Will Not Be Silent. We will not be silent. We must add to that. And we will not serve. We will not serve those who do not serve us. We must have a government for the people, by the people, and of the people. We must have religions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We must have political parties for the people, of the people, by the people. And we do not have that presently. And we cannot sit quietly and expect it to fall in our laps. People have fought over the years. I remember it was the communist scare. It was the black scare. It was the immigrant scare. It is the terrorist scare. And every time, taking our eye off the ball, and they've taken our jobs, our homes, our futures, our medical care, what little we had, and they're scrapping it. We were fighting to match Europe. We were fighting to match Cuba. And we have not yet caught up. They're taking more away than we are getting. And the people have not reached a level of struggle. And now they take those who represent us and put them in jail. And as an example to anyone who would represent us. And people have become silent. And I heard a lawyer in New York, and he made no bones about it. He says, well, they got Lynn. And he says, and I never will represent an Arab. End of the story.
Gentlemen, may I break in?
Of course, Dave. Good to hear you.
It's break time.
All right.
This is Dave from the Wolf's Den Studios saying welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Wolf Spirit Radio is totally listener-supported by folks like you who choose to help us stay on the air and grow.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of the April 15th edition of We Cannot Be Silent. My name is Phil Restino. I'm one of the co-hosts of the monthly program we do here on wolfspiritradio.com. And, of course, the other co-host, if you've already been listening, is Larry Pinkney. And I do want to thank Larry right up front for covering the whole show, the first half there. And I want to say hi to our special guest tonight, Ralph Pointer. Ralph, thank you very much for taking the time to join us tonight on the program.
Well, thank you so much for thinking of me in these times of dire economic, social, and political situations. And I'm sitting outside the prison in Fort Worth, Texas. I've just finished visiting Lynn Stewart, my partner of over 50 years, and we're here because we have been fighting the fight to make America become what it says it is. And
Yes. There
is great resistance to that. And then when people talk about Lynn Stewart in jail and feeling bad for her, one of the things that Lynn says, and I'm going to try to use Lynn's words as much as I can, her words are, so many people have fought so hard and paid such a high price to make America, not to even the position that it is now, including fighting against slavery, fighting against child labor, fighting against unequal immigration, fighting against the oppression of women, fighting against same-gender lovers. They have struggled for many years. Many famous people have been in jail. Famous attorneys have been in jail. And she says, and these are very important words, I, a white American who have benefited from skin privilege, dare not complain about having to pay a price to move America forward a little more. And she also says, I, as a white American, have benefited from slavery, imperialism, and every other injustice for the benefit of white people. She has enjoyed those benefits, so she doesn't complain about paying the price of having these benefits. But she does not stop the smoke to make it better for all people. And so this is why we call her Sister Lynn. She is, there's no struggle for justice that she will not support, that she has not supported, not with words, not only with words, but with deeds, with actions, all of her adult life. So
yes.
I am distressed to hear, to have to come across country to visit her in jail, and I could go on, but I'll wait for a question to continue.
Sure. Thank you, Ralph. And folks that may just be tuning in right now into the show and who may have missed the first hour, we're talking about Lynn Stewart, the attorney, the civil rights attorney, just attorney for the folks that are just being treated unjustly. And what happened is she's been treated unjustly now, and Lynn is in prison. I believe she's 73 years of age, is struggling with cancer, and what was the saying Larry, that Dr. King said, injustice to anyone anywhere is injustice to everyone everywhere, something to that effect.
That's right. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Justice to one is an injustice to all. And King did say those words. Injustice to anyone anywhere is an injustice to everyone everywhere.
Meaning that if there's injustice, it's on all of us, and we all have a responsibility, the way I understand that, is to right this wrong. And for folks just tuning in, there's a website, and I'm sure that it's already been mentioned a few times. It's lynnstewart.org, LynnStewart.org. And that could get you a whole bunch of information, to include the link to sign the petition. Say again, please.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. And so we want to encourage folks to get over to that website and not just look at it, but pass it on to their respective email lists and Facebook pages and what have you. We've got to stand up and do something about it here. The call is being put out, and I'm looking at the web page right now. We have a statement by Ed Asner, the actor from the old Mary Tyler Moore show, activist Dick Gregory. He's there, and going down the page a bit, Pete Seeger and Ralph Schoenman, you know, some real powerful people here. But the power's in the numbers. You know, and we need folks to get out to this website, start spreading the word, and do whatever you can. I know that the number for the telephone number for anyone listening who wants to call in is 1-775-657-5973. Again, that's 775 657-5973, and we're on the Wolf Spirit Radio network. It's wolfspiritradio.com, and there you'll find links to the chat room and archives and other shows on the network, and we hope folks get to the wolfspiritradio.com and look at this website for the network we're able to broadcast over. Have there been any calls or questions from the chat yet that we might want to introduce to the conversation? Dave, anybody?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, well, we'll keep putting it out there. I had a couple of questions of my own. One of the things that, well, here's the thing, and Larry and I speak about this quite often, Ralph, is this left-right divide that's been laid on us and played on us, and we willingly continue to play this game where, you know, we divide ourselves, the people, we disempower ourselves with this left-right, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, BS paradigm. And I would, looking at the folks that are calling to support Lynn and your efforts and all that, if you step back and, you know, I think people that would look at this on the surface would see this, oh, this is a bunch of lefties here. See what I mean? And I really believe that we've got to start bridging this left-right gap on so many issues, because the issues are the same for all of us. And, Larry, you often quote Malcolm X saying, wrong is wrong no matter who does it or who says it, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Now, I was thinking about this on the drive over here just before, you know, what I might be able to say on the show tonight, and when folks that are just the everyday average Joe TV watching person, you know, they look at Malcolm X and they look at who's saying it, not so much as what's being said, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would love to, I was thinking, I wonder if there's somebody from the John Birch Society or the, you know, something like that who made the same quote. You know, wrong is wrong, no matter who does it.
Right. It's, I mean, that's a universal, it has a certain universality about it. You see, this is why I refer to Lynn Stewart as a people's, I didn't say right-wing people's, I didn't say left-wing people's, I didn't say, a socialist, I didn't say conservative, I didn't say, no, she is the people's lawyer. She has fought for the downtrodden, no matter who they are, where they are. Right is right, and wrong is wrong.
And we know that. In the legal terms, Lynn Stewart puts it, everyone deserves a credible defense in the courtroom.
Yes.
It's an adversarial system, and who could argue that? Everyone deserves incredible defense. Therefore,
we're all on the same page.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And so when somebody says, gee, that's a left-wing position, I say, how could you say that? Everyone deserves a credible defense.
And this is what I'm trying to work towards, Ralph, is mm-hmm. the perception. What we're dealing with here is what's not so much what's being said, you know, in the eyes of the general public, but who is saying it in the eyes of the general public. And
this is what the government finds so dangerous in the person of Lynn Stewart.
because he's able to say things where people understand it. And I think it was Jefferson who said the truth cannot be told so as to be understood and not be believed. And when Lynn Stewart speaks, she speaks, it's the voice of truth. And I remember once going out to a university, I believe, Lynn traveled around the country debating the Bill of Rights and the application of law. Any professor would get on the stage and debate it with her, and none did. And I remember taking a break in the conversation when Lynn Stewart was speaking, and I went to the men's room. And in the booth in the men's room, I heard somebody say, gee, I came here prepared to hate the lady, and I like her. And this is the power of Lynn Stewart that the government fears. She can take an issue, she can see it clearly, she can examine it, and she can express it in a manner that people can understand. And she can change a lot of minds. And this, since she did it in the black movement when black people were fighting for justice. We didn't get
this.
But when black people were fighting for something as simple as the right to vote, who can deny somebody the right to vote and say they're in a democracy? Then
I understand
on the right side of history. Can you call that
I understand
a leftist point of view?
No, what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get to, Ralph, is, and Larry knows where I'm coming from here, it's the general public, how the general public sees how we've been so conditioned to see things either left or right and disregard what's actually being said. Based on, you know, who's saying it. Excuse me?
This is the beauty of Lynn. She could cut
it. Yes, we know that's the beauty of Lynn, but what we're talking about is the people on the outside that are charged with the responsibility here of, or the challenge of freeing Lynn. This is what I'm getting at it. You know, so, that's what I was going back to with my comment to Larry earlier. You know, we have Malcolm X saying something that's a universal truth, which is, you know, wrong is wrong no matter who says it or who does it. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong no matter who does it. And you can, and that's Malcolm X saying that, you know. But there's half the population that won't even allow themselves to hear it based on the conditioning of who is saying it.
Yes.
They don't hear it, you see. And this is the bridge, this is the gap that I really believe we have to work hard on bridging here. And I'm wondering if we can find some people that are saying the same things and believing the same things and hold them to their words, you know,
Hello? If it were easy as that, there would be no racism.
Yes, but not even
not.
Racism. But we're talking about right here and now. We're talking about your wife in prison unjustly with cancer, and she needs help. Y'all need help to get her out, and it's. This is what we're up against. We've got to find, I believe, a populist. We've got to force a populist attention to this matter. And I don't, Larry. Can you help?
Hello, hello.
Oh, we have a caller.
Moderating.
Oh, okay.
You have a caller.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a caller.
This sounds like a familiar voice here.
Familiar voice. Hey, guys. Hey.
Hi, folks, for listening, who are listening. This is my cousin in New York City, Janet Restino, calling in. Hi, Janet. Thanks so much for calling in. I'd like to hear what you have to say here or ask or whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead, Janet.
Hi.
How are you?
Blessings to everyone. very stimulating discussion. Just thought I'd check in at this moment. And just in an effort for people who aren't in front of their computers or all the time or not up on doing the research or whatever, it seems to me that it might be a good idea just to be a little more specific about why she's in prison, how long she's been there. I'm just going to putting out a few facts. We're talking a lot about what she's done in general and what a great person Lynn Stewart is, et cetera. That's all very, very terrific. Just in terms of a few facts and how...
Okay, I would like to answer that question. And I will be as Why? Who is Lynn Stewart? Why is she in prison? What has she been accused of?
How far back it goes? You know, with her sentence being increased, and why?
Yes.
So when you talk about who's saying what, me doing a little research on it tonight, it's occurring to me that maybe some of where she is now has to do with how the judges responded to how dare she say that, and you know.
Okay,
how
can I answer these questions?
Yes.
And feel free to butt in at any moment. Yes, I got your drift. First of all, Lynn Stewart is in jail out of a representation of the line sheik, who was falsely accused of plotting to blow up New York City landmarks. Now, how did she get in the case? Lynn Stewart was a renowned human rights attorney as well as an activist who was asked to take this case on by ex-Attorney General of the United States, Ramsey Clark, whose father was a Supreme Court Justice. And he had said to Lynn, and I was there today, that he called her to his office and said, Lynn, this is a case you must take. You have served poor people, you have served black people, you have served immigrants of this nation, and it is time for you to serve your government. Because America, now this is Ramsey Clark speaking, he says America will soon be in a position where they will have no friends and nobody to talk to in the Middle East. And we must begin to change American foreign policy, and we must show the people of the Middle East that the people of America can get a defense for one of their revered citizens and leaders. And Lynn's first answer to the question was, no, I can't. I am a respected lawyer and a revered lawyer, and therefore I have 110 cases in my book right now. And I cannot do this case. And besides, the case has been going on for a year, and it's about to start. Go to trial in 2 months. And because my reputation is I know the prosecutor's case better than the prosecutor, this is why I'm successful, and that is why I cannot take this case on. And besides, she went on to say that she does not know the politics of the Middle East, and she doesn't think she could do it. And Ramsey Clark, in his way, and is a friend of mine who says the man who represented the federal government when they integrated the schools and universities of the South, and he got on radio and spoke and said, I am here with the National Guard to enforce law because all these people want to do is vote. This Ramsey Clark said to Lynn Stewart, I want you to take this case. And he went on to persuade Lynn Stewart to take the case. Now, Lynn Stewart, in her fashion, looked at the case and took the case on just like she did many other cases. And I say to you, and I remind people, when Lynn Stewart defended Sammy the Bull Gravano, a mafia member, and who admitted to killing 19 people, and after the case, nobody, after Lynn defended him vigorously and would have won the cases, except the government said to Lynn and Sammy, Lynn, if you fight this case, and they expected her to roll over, they said, if you fight this case, we will indict Sammy's wife and his daughter. And Lynn says we can beat that too. Because right. Nixon's wife didn't get indicted with him. Just because right, you're right. there doesn't make you guilty.
Right. And where does William...
I think it's important. This is important.
Yeah,
and as Lynn
yeah.
said to Sammy, this is your decision, not mine. Sammy said, I'm not going to court, and he fell, and he's going to be in jail the rest of his life. So mm-hmm. understand, no one, not the government, not the people, not the New York Post, say, oh, Lynn is a mafioso. And suddenly when she gives a great defense to a person of color, an Egyptian cleric, she's called a terrorist. How does that work? And this is the first question you have to ask. How does that work? It works because of racism and immigrant and the attitude of
the
American
people.
So now,
what about the judges that increased her sentence from...
Let us go to the sentence. Now, I have explained that Lynn was found guilty of attempting conspiracy to kill American citizens overseas. What citizen?
Yes.
Nobody knows.
Yes, yes. Right.
What
right.
country? Nobody knows.
Right.
When?
Right.
Nobody knows. Now, can you imagine being accused of murder and nobody knows who you're accused of murdering?
Right, but the whole thing of her sentence being increased.
Okay, you jump to the next question. Well, after she was found guilty, how did they increase the sentence? Well, they said Lynn Stewart showed no remorse. And she continued to go around the country after being found guilty of corrupting our youth. Going to law schools and universities. Yes, she went to law schools and universities. Yes, she went to law schools and universities and spoke. But what did she speak about? She spoke about the right of freedom of speech and assembly, First Amendment. She spoke about the right to have a decent attorney. She spoke about the Bill of Rights and challenged any law professor to debate her on it, and nobody did. This was her corruption of the youth, as the Second Circuit saw it. They said she saw no remorse. She said, yes, I would like to think I would do it again. Do what? Defend the Bill of Rights. Then they accused her of passing secret messages. There were no secret messages. She made a political statement for her client through Reuters. I believe it is the second largest news service in the world. A very public statement. The government said, well, she made a political statement on behalf of her client, which other lawyers have done, and other lawyers have continued to do, but the government has a right to selective prosecution, and they said, well, you can do it, but Lynn Stewart can't, and we're going to punish Lynn Stewart.
And that's...
There were no secret
messages. But that's the what we're getting. That's what they're pinning the additional prison time on.
They said that she continues to speak and she shows no remorse.
And that's what the judge added the extra years on for showing no remorse.
To 120 minutes. 120 yes. months. That's what the judge used. But I'm no lawyer, and I don't even like lawyers. There are very few lawyers I like, but everybody has a right to a lawyer. And whenever the cases that the judges stated for increasing sentences had new facts, Lynn's case had no new facts. And I always say to Lynn, I don't want you to ever be caught in the position of the Mumia exception. There is a law, except to Mumia Abu Jamal, then they don't apply the law to him. And now we have come to the point where there is law, but they don't apply the law to Lynn Stewart. So now we have the Mumia exception of the law and the Lynn Stewart exception of the law. That's why she's in Fort Worth, Texas right now, suffering from cancer and possibly going to die as a result of it, because there's an exception to the law when it applies to Lynn Stewart, because she had 28 months, and she has done near 40 months in jail, and she would be in New York City, and as in her own words, having a choice that her skin privilege and her economic support and her social status to give her the best medical treatment in the world, and she would have a chance against this cancer, as opposed to being where she is now with a death sentence and no chance against cancer. This
I
want to
ask Larry. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes,
thank you, Ralph.
Where will the petition go?
The petition will go. There are two petitions. The petition is more than a legal document. The petition will go to the Department of Justice. It will go to the warden. It will go to three or four other institutions that have association that could have influence on sentencing and her release. But the most important part of this petition is a political statement. We want this government to know. We want this Supreme Court to know. And her case is not before the Supreme Court, but it has been submitted to the Supreme Court to study and to look at and see if Lynn got a fair trial. And we want there to be enough political pressure by these signatures, by these dignitaries, by these known people, and by just everybody out there who says we have had enough, for this government to say we can't continue this injustice to Lynn Stewart. We must revisit that case again. This is what this petition is about.
Okay.
Two points.
Thank you.
Well, what were you going to
ask?
Well, I wanted to bring... thank you, Ralph. I'm going to try to get some commentary and feedback from Larry here. Larry, the short of it is she's a political prisoner, right?
Yes.
And you're very familiar with that. And we've got to see what has worked in the past as far as freeing political prisoners and all that. And these are all steps that have been taken in the past, petitions and public awareness and public outcry. But what legally, Larry, are there any, what's being done legally? Is there a legal team or something different that hasn't been done that you can think of?
I think that in terms of the legalities of it, legally, Ralph is in a better position. But let me say, to answer that. However, before I swing that back to Ralph, let me just say that I personally would like to see an increased international, not only national. We need that. We need the national consciousness around the case of Lynn Stewart. Because really, and I keep emphasizing this, this is not just about Lynn Stewart. It's about all of us. The so-called Mumia exception to the law, the so-called Lynn Stewart exception to the law, is going to be used against all of us if we don't stop it now. Okay? So I would like to see an increased also international awareness. The next time the United States, Mr. Drone Man or Barack Obama or one of his minions walks into any international forum, the question should immediately be put into his face or their faces, how about Lynn Stewart? What about Lynn Stewart? Okay, I would like to see a lot more emphasis internationally as well as nationally. It's the raising of that consciousness. But as far as the legal team, et cetera, I think Ralph is definitely far better qualified to answer than myself. Ralph?
Well, I like to say this. That's very well put, Larry. We are trying to go international, and I will tell you, we have an international listening. People are calling from all over the world. Samoa, London, Berlin, Sweden, Switzerland, Japan, China, you name it. People are speaking out, and we hope to hear those voices grow. But I'm going to become an American and answer that question as Americans do in athletic terms. When you're playing a game such as football or basketball, everybody knows what you want to do. And the question is, how do they stop you? Well, you have to have a better offense and they have a defense. Yes, all of these tactics have been tried before. And in the terms of political prisoners, we have had little to none in terms of success. Except when the new facts of DNA have been introduced into evidence then some of our political prisoners have been freed because the government has just been wrong. And DNA is evidence that has been accepted, and it has freed some of our political prisoners. This is not a question of DNA. This is a question of what she had said, what people said she said, and can the government get away with breaking the law? We are doing the same thing that every other political prisoner has done. We're trying to do it better. And as Larry said, we're trying to go further. We're trying to go international. We're trying to go wide, to make it far, spread far near. We want people to understand what has happened here. And as I have said before, as many people have said, if we don't stand up here, we will lose the rights that people have fought for and gained. And there would have been no United States of America unless those representatives who tried to represent signed on to the Bill of Rights. And the moment we lose those Bill of Rights with the Patriot Act when people didn't stand up, and only 5 of our Congress people read that bill, and they gave it away. And as I said earlier, remember what America is and was. When this was a slaveocracy, when they had indentured white servants from Europe and black slaves from Africa, the government was trading companies. They ran the show. They appointed people. They removed people. Today we have those same trading companies. We call them corporations running the government. And are we going to stand by and allow them in this glaring case of corporate control of media and the courts? Corporations are people. They are all the people. Are we going to stand up and say no? Are we going to lay down and let people's past struggles pass into the distant future, the distant past?
I got you, Ralph. And Janet?
You got my drift.
Yes, thank you.
I'm listening. I'm here.
I hope you're still with us. And Larry,
yeah, I am.
What I see here, Ralph and Larry, and Janet and Dave and whoever's listening, I see the same thing. No matter how blatantly wrong it is, the public perception. This left-right divide, I believe, is a key factor not only in, you know, the wars, the everything else, but this as well. I think the gap where we still have yet to bridge on this, and I think it really needs to be addressed, is people on the right. Can we find somebody on the right saying those very same words that Malcolm X said? Larry, are you following me here?
Let me go a little stronger on that point. I don't know how many people remember Reverend Wright. He was the minister who was Barack Obama's minister for 20 years.
Yes.
He made the statement that the nation was in an uproar about. It was pointed out on the Tavis Smiley pointed out that he said nothing that Martin Luther King hadn't said before, and he went word for word, issue for issue, showing where Martin Luther King had said the same thing.
Yes.
Those people who accused the minister of Barack Obama didn't speak out against Martin Luther King, who had said the very same thing. Now you're asking the question, how can we change the perception of the critics of these statements? You cannot. All you can do is tell the truth, and we go back to the original statements of the founders, and as Lynn said, with all of the warts on it, Jefferson had slaves.
That's not what I'm getting at, Ralph. I'm sorry. Yeah. I need to try to better articulate what I'm trying to say.
So I think I understand what you're getting at, and
you know,
it will require.
I mean, what kind of effort, if any, is being made towards what people in America, right here, the ones that, you know, this is being done in our name, okay? What kind of effort, if any, is being made to reach out to people on the right? People who, when they come home from work.
Yeah. I think the greatest effort being made in America today to reach out to people on the right is to support Lynn Stewart. Because she says, I am
No. Okay, no, that's
finish,
not what
sir.
I asked.
Please.
Okay, that's...
I know.
Yes.
Let me finish. Because she says, I understand, because many of my family were the people on the right. I know how to speak to them. I think I have opportunity. And when Lynn Stewart speaks and says the same thing that Malcolm X says, or the same thing that I say, it is perceived differently by the people you're talking about. And so I say, how do we reach out to the right? What is the right? How does one become the right? I cut through all of that by telling people over and over and over what my mother told me, and I dare anybody to call me my mother a liar. And my mother said, we all are what we do. And I will extend that to we all are how we perceive. The truth is truth. That's why it is so important. If you say A and somebody hears it B, I don't know what you can do to make them hear what you said.
Has anybody in this effort reached out to any, specifically, any groups on the right, any type of, do you know what I'm saying? What kind of effort, if any, has been made in this particular case to try to free Lynn Stewart?
I don't segregate my attempt to get people to support Lynn Stewart.
I understand that.
Listen, but let me finish. I tell everyone who will listen, not based on labels. Everyone who will listen becomes a potential ally. Ask me the question. I will tell you the best of my ability what Lynn has said. Look at her website, and I challenge everyone to go to the website and look up her Minneapolis speech she made. I think it was in 2003, 2004, but the website had it. And I call it the Gettysburg Address of our time. And listen to what Lynn Stewart says, and then tell me whether she's a lefty or a righty, or just a person who tells truth.
I am not articulating what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry.
You want me to reach out to the John Birch Society? No, I have
not.
No.
What I'm asking is, it's a clear question. What, if any, efforts have been made by the folks that are fighting to free Lynn Stewart, yourself included, the legal team? This is a question now.
Answer you as part of that team that I personally and do not encourage people to use labels. If somebody said, invited me to a Klan rally to speak on behalf of Lynn Stewart, I would go and speak on behalf of Lynn Stewart.
Yes.
And I would try to make it relate to what their issues are.
Yes.
Period.
You kind of said something there by relating to the issues that they're involved in. Phil, I understand your question.
I'm talking like actual, not making statements, and it's on people to listen or not listen. I'm talking about actual reaching out to try to get help. You know, the words that are used, across the aisle, that kind of stuff, you know, for lack of better words. Because, I mean, look at the wars. Look at the impeachment. You know, Bush was guilty of sin. You had millions of people calling for his impeachment. But it was in the eyes of the general public, in the eyes of 300 million Joe Q public, you know, it's the left going after the guy on the right. And this is why the wars and impeachment, had the left applied the same public standard of a public call for impeachment when the Democrat was doing the same crimes, then you break this left-right paradigm. You know, there, and I really believe that's at play here with the, you know, trying to get help to free Lynn Stewart is, it's at play. Those of us who understand it and are familiar with her case and are familiar with what she says and what she means what she says, that's all well and good, but I'm talking about the majority of the general public who looks at this through the conditioning, you know. You know, the first
well,
thing
I
they
can
ask
say
is,
this.
Yeah.
On my computer, when I go for information, it is not listed left or right.
I understand.
I don't believe it's on anybody else's computer. And
no.
I encourage everyone everywhere to go to their computer. Challenge me. Ask me a question. I deal with issues, not left or right. I let other
exactly.
people decide what's left or right.
We know where what you're about, Ralph, and we understand that. Those of us who know you and understand that. I'm talking about, Larry, can do you know what I'm trying to say, Larry?
Yeah, I think so. Let me quickly get back to something, because I think you and Ralph are actually saying the same things, but you're trying to be... So you're trying to be more specific in terms of organizations, I think, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, I mean, has there been any effort to go, you know, like, remember I sent you guys a link to the, what was it, the U.S. Observer? They're a group that tries to, their claim is the same thing. I mean, you could take all the words that Lynn Stewart and Ralph Poynter said, and it comes out of their mouth. But when you look at their website or whatever, all those are Patriot, Tea Party, right-wing people, but they're saying the same daggone thing. And they're in the business of trying to help, people that are wrongly convicted as well. You know?
Let me say one thing, Larry. I think I got the answer here. I think I'm going to answer this quickly. If you remember in the recent elections, we had the Democrats and we had the Republicans, and running for the Republicans was a gentleman of the Libertarian political party in the name of Ron Paul, and in the debates he proved to be further using your left-right in your definition of political position, the person furthest to the left of all of the major candidates running was Ron Paul. When he said, United States, get out of the 700 nations that you're in and bring that money and the troops back home and we will have a government. I didn't hear one so-called leftist Democrat say the same thing. So therefore I say, we must stop this left and right of those of us who claim to be knowledgeable and say, position, what position do you have on an issue? Ron Paul was the furthest to the left, following your definition, left and right.
Yeah.
We have to badge that. Stay away from that. What is your position on this particular issue? Follow me.
Well, I think that what I'm hearing you and Phil and Dave, you know, and Janet saying, in essence, what I'm picking up is that, and I believe you actually used the word, Ralph, populist. We need a conscious populist people's movement, and the case, and I don't even like to use the word case, the situation of Lynn Stewart and others, whether it's Leonard Peltier, whether it's Mumia Abu-Jamal, whether it's Cindy Atta-Akali, whomever, of our political prisoners in this country, and of all colors, and both genders, we have, I believe, the perfect opportunity to form popular people's movement of consciousness across the board. And I think that we need to be working towards that. I love the example of Ron Paul, because when we looked at the issues, one had to say, well, I'll be damned. He's saying now, and saying it better, okay, he's articulating a position better than the so-called left, okay? And he's from the so-called right. And we really...
This is what I find inaccurate. When you start using general terms about left, right, populism, we have, you know, give me an issue and what's your position on it, period.
Right. I think we keep it simple. We keep it simple and straightforward. Because people can relate to that. I can relate. All this intellectual masturbation, I'm not accusing us of being intellectual masturbators, but I'm saying all this. But you know what I'm saying. Well, we need to dispense with that crap, and I think that that's what's happening. I do believe we are dispensing with that distracting nonsense.
When Lynn went to Stanford University to speak, it was so-called right-wing university, using other people's terms, not my own. It was a conservative university, using other people's terms, not my own. The Heritage Foundation put out 5,000 pieces of literature against her speaking. And when she finished speaking, she got a standing ovation.
That's my point, Ralph.
She went to where she was asked to come to speak.
But this is,
and she
this is my point.
Yes.
But you see,
get us the invitations to right-wing organizations, and I'll be there to speak.
Right.
On behalf of your,
it's your, it's your, it, yes, I understand, Ralph. And I think we get it. What I'm saying is there's an example. Somebody within, you know, and I'm using left, right, you know, it's bullshit, left, right, the Democrat, Republican. It's a play that's been laid on us to disempower us, we the people. We know that, but the majority of the people do not. They're in the conditioning is so deep. And so here you have your wife in prison with cancer, and we gotta get her ass out of there. And so.
That's right, from your mouth to God's ear.
See what I'm saying? So, it's the Stanford example, right? They're in the public perception, you know, in general terms, it's a conservative, right, leaning, whatever, right? Somebody within that organization made the outreach, and this is what I was asking earlier, what kind of outreach has been done from what's been perceived by most of the population as something that's left? You've got people of color in prison.
I just want to try to finish,
Ralph. I'm sorry I'm taking so long to get this out. We have people of color imprisoned, or we have a white woman defending people of color, okay? So in the eyes, please let me finish, in the eyes of the general public, the mass populace, the ones who come home and they either turn on MSNBC or they turn on Fox. One is left, one is right, you know, and it's all bullshit. But this is the most of the public. This is what we're trying to get through. Somebody at Stanford did the outreach to bring Lynn Stewart in, and it met with a heck of a lot of resistance. You know, there was 5,000 professors, or whatever, you know, there was whatever you said, there was a lot of resistance to it. But somebody made the effort from within that establishment to bring her in to speak. And that's what the powers that be don't want, because when she was able to speak and be heard, she got a standing ovation. And Larry and I did a show about a year ago. There was this group I mentioned before, the U.S. Observer out there in Oregon. It was a month after, month or so after Obama had signed the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012. The NDAA, the Indefinite Detention Center, the Indefinite Detention Provision, right? What had happened was the Occupy movements, which, regardless of what we understand them to be, or those who are in the choir see it as, you know, the general perception is, that's a left thing, okay? The tea parties, okay, regardless if you're in it and you really mean what you say and it's not left, it's about take, let's talk about the issue one issue at a time, you know, but when you back up and it's the general population, the Tea Party is a right thing, okay, left, right, okay, Fox News, MSNBC. So what these folks did was, Ralph, is they got together. The Oregon Occupy groups got together with the conservative Patriot Tea Party groups, and they got together in protest of the NDAA. And not just talked about it, they physically got together. And what that led to, and Larry often speaks of this, is the last thing that the powers that be want us to do is start talking with each other, because we're going to find out that we have a lot more in common. And this is my point here in the effort, because that led to exactly what Larry said. You know, these folks realized, hey, you know, we're all getting screwed by the government. You know, it's not, you know, the left is not the bad guy here, or the right's not the bad guy, you know, that live in the same neighborhood. So what I'm saying, it would be great to see some kind of similar effort, if it hasn't already been done, with Free Lynn Stewart, you know.
We accept invitation to speak. We encourage those who do not know to learn. And as Lynn went to the University of Alabama, Birmingham, to talk about her position, and she talked about positions.
I'm wondering the people on the outside who are trying to get her out, what kind of effort, if any, that's what I was asking.
And if you think that we are missing something, tell me about it, and I will make that effort. If you think there's a possibility of writing to a particular organization to have the Lynn Stewart story retold and told, I am available.
Oh, great. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking.
No,
to see
I understand.
What kind of,
I understand.
You know, because I do know this left-right thing is what disempowers us all, and it's what's kept these wars in Guantanamo going. You know, we got kill lists now. We got the African-American president is killing Africans, but it's okay because he's a Democrat.
That's right, and that has fooled the people, and they will soon learn that. Obama was passing for white, and then he changed it to pass for black, and he's fooling both people.
Right, and it's this left-right.
Not with the label white-black, we have to look at what he has done and label that. We must
what would happen, Ralph?
We believe in.
I know we're running short on time. What would happen, Larry, what would happen, do you think, if when Obama started committing the same war crimes that the left publicly called for impeachment, when it was Bush and the Republicans doing it? What would happen if the same people publicly did the same thing, made those same calls when it was Obama, the Democrat, doing it?
I think you would be
those people who is calling for it. And
I'm asking Larry.
Who is calling for it?
I know you are, Ralph, and Larry is too. That's how Larry and I. I know that, but that's not what I'm getting at. Larry, something.
I
the left right thing, the disempowerment dissolves.
Yes, obviously, and I think that we're actually beginning to see it. It's not nearly fast enough for me, but it is occurring. But I think I hear you saying that we must consciously make this occur, and I agree with you. We do. We have to consciously. I think that you and Ralph, in particular, could carry this conversation. This part of the conversation on, and should carry it on, perhaps just between you and he, and then come back and do it some more. But I definitely, I'm going to quote, I know Ralph, you mentioned earlier the words of Jefferson. Well, I want to quote also the words of Jefferson. Okay, Jefferson said, every generation needs a new revolution. That wasn't Malcolm X. That was Thomas Jefferson. And we need to, and I agree with them, okay? And there are things I don't agree with, but I agree with that, okay? And we need to start bridging this more and more, and we can do it. It takes a little effort, but we can do it. And we need to, you know, get those, all these labels, get these people out of their damn comfort zones. And, you know, and once we begin it, it spreads like a prairie fire. But I repeat the words of Jefferson all the time, those words. Every generation needs new revolution. That Malcolm? No, that wasn't Malcolm. That was Jefferson. And he was correct.
And this is my point, Larry. If we could get a visual of Malcolm X and a picture of Jefferson, right, side by side, saying the same thing. You see the visual there on the popular?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if it's one or the other alone, it's who's saying it.
Right.
But when you have them both side by side saying the same thing, you know, you've got to have that visual for the, and that's when the person has to, there's nowhere to, you know, it does not compute, so to speak, you know, for the average American.
I would suggest that tactic to some people who are into visual arts, to project, to put together a program with people who are labeled right and left saying the same thing.
I think we need to do more of that, so that's what we need to do to help illustrate this to the rest of our fellows who are being misled. My cousin Janet here, just because we're almost out of time. Janet, you were just going to say something. She is an artist, Ralph.
I think that's an excellent idea. I see it already as a poster with, you know, the quotes under it with different faces. I went to a TEDx talk a few weeks ago, and it was wonderful. I'll forward you the link. I'm terrible with remembering names. A guy did a whole campaign where he did a graphic, and it was like, I'm not going to shoot you. He was Israeli, and the next thing you know, Iranians got in on it, and the next thing you know, it was these fabulous images. People took pictures of themselves, and they're saying, I'm not going to kill you, I'm not going to kill you, and it just caught on like wildfire. And I was there like, wow, you know, he did this thing on Facebook. So, you know, you've got your finger on the pulse there with a very brilliant idea of here's the words, you put pictures behind it, who said that, all these people said that, you know, I can see it.
Right, and then you break that left-right divide that has been so successfully disempowering we the people, and because we the people have been disempowered. I mean, when you've had millions of people come out and protest Bush's insane illegal wars of aggression and call for his impeachment and all that, but it was still a left-right thing.
There was a white paper put out by the CIA, and it was made public in the New York Times. I'm trying to remember the name of the gentleman who was the bestseller, put it into the New York Times, this white paper. And what the white paper has said was the CIA reported that the only thing that could save America internally and internationally from Bush's blunders is the election of Obama, or Barack Obama, who continue doing the same thing and increase it and silence home support. This is what you're talking about, labeling. But we also have to remember there's a whole history behind why the people were fooled. What led to it being fooled? We have to remember Barack Obama was not the first turncoat.
Right.
It's a symptom that has happened in America because of American history. And two things can happen when you remember history. You can be educated by it, or you can be tortured by it. And we and black Americans and Israelis fall into the same trap. Our history tortures us. The history of Jews in Eastern Europe tortures them into the position of subjugating Palestinians and taking their land. And our history subjugates us into continuing the imperious wars of America on the rest of the world, on the poor, on the immigrants, because we refuse to see how we have become that which we despise.
Yes. Well, I think we're already over our time. Dave, are
okay,
you still with us?
Yes.
Dave?
Yeah, he's there.
Would you relax? Have I said you had to shut down?
No, I just was looking at the time.
Help yourself.
Thank you.
Well, before...
Okay, thank you so much for having me. Much appreciated. And,
well, don't go yet.
Like
don't go yet, Ralph.
Where are you going? No, I want to immediately say this, that, Dave, you know we appreciate you and all the incredible work you do. Janet, thanks for calling in. And to our magnificent,
Janet.
You know, and to our incredible listening audience out there, you know, thank you. And as we used to say in the Black Panther Party, all power to the people. We mean that, all power, because you're the people. We the people. It's about the people. Not the corporate governments. So I want to say thank you. And to our very, very special guest, Ralph Pointer, please give our love. I know I'm speaking for all of us. Please give our love to our dear, dear, beloved sister, Glenn Stewart. Let her know we love her. Let her know that, you know, our spirit is her spirit. Let her know she's not alone.
You can count on that, and I thank you for that message. And we will continue, and as I say, I reach out, thank you for reaching out to me, and I will try to continue and do better, do the job we are doing better, and thanks again.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much, and we do want to repeat the website for Free Lynn Stewart, Justice for Lynn Stewart, Lynn Stewart, LYNNE, STEWART.org. And I guess if folks even just do an internet search, Google search or what have you, Free Lynn Stewart, that'll get you to this website as well. Please, folks.
Look her up on Facebook. She's on
get it up
Facebook
on Facebook
everywhere.
and pass it around, and we've got to share this story with others. Please try to share this story with others who might not otherwise listen. We've got to come together. We've got to get past these left-right divides, you know, because injustice to one is injustice to all of us. Ralph, is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we call it a night?
No,
any other way
is Lynn Stewart is in dire need of your support. I do not want to pick her up in a box. I do not want you to witness me picking her up in a box. Please act tonight. Thank you again.
Thank you, Ralph, and we don't want to see that either. That's why we want to try to help here. Speaking of helping, we're on the air because of WolfSpiritRadio.com, and WolfSpiritRadio.com is independent media, meaning they're not bought off by people that want to lie to us and mislead us, and therefore they're not being bought, which means they're not being given money. So, but it takes a thought to do all the work that allows for shows like ours and the many, many other programs that are on WolfSpiritRadio.com. So please, this is independent radio. If you have a few bucks, go to the donate button on WolfSpiritRadio.com/donate and throw in what you can. And we want to thank especially Dave Corso, the proprietor there at Wolf Spirit Radio, for doing all the production and giving us once again the opportunity to come on air for another month and being on air hopefully that means we have people on the other end listening. And of course, we want to thank you so very much for hanging in with us. And Janet, thanks for calling in. Larry, as always, thank you, brother. And a very special thank you to our special guest, Ralph Pointer. Free Lynn Stewart, lynnstewart.org. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Good night to all.
Good night. Good night.